Welcome into the best damn pop culture podcast in the Spider-Verse, in the Speed Force, in a galaxy far, far away. Good brother, it is turbulent times in our country, in our world, but we appreciate each and every one of you joining us here on The Good Brothers. Not a Quarantine Files, but The Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado. Good brother, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's been a weird week for us because we were supposed to do a quarantine file, and then we decided in good taste, in good show, it would be best to take the week off from that. I remember you sent me your list, and we both agreed that we would wait. And I think it is also fitting that our first Good Brothers back is a topic of not only part of what we usually do, but something that's really changed our lives going forward. So we get to discuss a little bit of both.
So like the good brother mentioned, it has been a very turbulent week. It's been a very turbulent year. The truth of the matter is this. COVID-19 has changed a lot of outlooks, has changed a lot of perspectives, has changed a lot of people's attitudes from quarantine to job loss to everything in between. The problem lies within this. The murder of George Floyd is not just something that is happening right now. This is something that's been going on for 400 years. Has civically happened in our communities since the 60s and before then. It's not long ago that this country was lynching people of color. And today, where we're living in this, in a day and age where cameras are everywhere, and it's our responsibility to come out here and tell you our opinion, to be about what we talk about, to preach our own message. And I know a lot of people come to places like this for distraction. And I get it. I really do. The problem is, this isn't a problem you could walk away from. This isn't an issue you could bury your head into the sand with. There is not many ways you could come at a subject like this, except for head on. Because every other way has obviously not worked. No matter what your opinion is, being on the fence is done with. And personally, I'm doing what I can to help Black lives. I could say I'm out here helping not just my Latino community, not just the Middle Eastern community, the Jewish community, the Asian community, hell, even the white community who's seen horrible things happen to their people with this opioid epidemic. It's not just what you see on a day-to-day basis from going and having a police interaction. We're talking about a systematic issue. We're talking about banks not being in Black neighborhoods. We're talking about high-end places not wanting to establish roots in Black neighborhoods. We're talking about school funding not being there. Disenfranchising, not making wanted people go to vote. This isn't something that just happened because of one murder. This is something a country has been built on. And I'm not here to blame you for the sins of men from the past. I'm here to tell you, you are making your own sins, or you are making your own help now. This is your time to be judge. Not what happened back then. Not something you didn't have control over. Your moment is now. So you can say whatever you want on a comment section, on a Facebook post. The truth of the matter is this. The world is moving forward. Where are you going to be in history? Good brother, I've had the privilege, I've had the honor, I've had the duty of being on the network, being on Chicago radio, talking about this subject with some of the best people I know, with Courtney Baxter, with Everett O'Neill. We had an open discussion. I've talked to people in the white community. I've talked to people in the Chicano community. I have my opinion, and I hope each and every one of you listen to my latest episode of Outreach Radio Chicago. You know where I stand. Good brother, I can't do this show without you. This network is one-third you. The floor is yours. Tell me your emotions. Tell me what you're going through. And tell me what you're trying to do to impact this entire situation we're going through right now.
Yeah, man. You know, it is a lot. And I've had time to kind of, you know, be alone with my thoughts. I think I agree with you. And it's funny that this whole network was built off you and me not agreeing, because that's what made our show entertaining and our opinions being different. And obviously, I think this is the first time in history where we're 100% on the same page. You use your platform to teach, as I use my coaching platform to teach these kids. And you know what? Like I said, it's just, I agree with everything you said 100% completely. So I'm not going to repeat a lot of the same things. I think especially for you and me and our family, where we've always had to almost hide and be safe. Like, we've always been a very safe, darker toned family, and I hated it. And, you know, I got so used to it growing up, and I never noticed it growing up. And then as a grown man, after quarantine and after making a lot of big life changes for a positive, and then this happened, you start to look at yourself and you start to look at those old times and be like, we had to hide who we were out of fear of being persecuted. You know, like, that was our whole life, almost our whole childhood, Mike, was raised off of, I don't want to be in a situation, our parents don't want us in these situations of having to go through any of that. So they moved us and they whitewashed us almost. And, you know, we had a perfectly fine childhood in the suburbs, being, you know, adapting to that suburban lifestyle. And then as a grown man, you notice how wrong it was to have to try to hide. And I don't blame our parents. I blame, like you said, it's a system thing where, you know, we have to whiten ourselves up to be afraid. Our mother sat down and told me a terrifying story of, she says, I worry about all three of my sons, Alex. She's like, you were the darkest one. She's like, when you went to school in Texas, I cried and I was terrified. And I never thought of it like that because I had been so brainwashed into thinking I was safe. And then I look back in my entire life from 7 years old, thinking of all the little systematic racism things I had to go through for, just for being a little dark. And I make the joke with our family all the time. I wore Abercrombie. I wore the jerseys in high school. I had a lot of white friends. I adapted to that lifestyle so easily. And you speak more Spanish and you speak to more heritage appropriate people than I do. And so does Marcos. And yet I was the one looked at my whole life being the danger, being the darker one, being the different one, being the not okay one. And then as an adult, I'm sick of it. And I'm not hiding who I am anymore. And I voiced it. And you know what? I'm blessed though that I've started to voice it, and I get support from you and all the cheer parents and all the kids, and I'm getting nothing but support. So I'm very grateful for that I don't have to hide because of systematic racism, because we want it to be the safe brown people. We want it to be the safe darker people. And it's not okay that we had to hide our whole lives just to make other people comfortable. And that time is up. Like you said, there is no more hiding. We're not making anyone comfortable just because the way we look is different. And I'm sick of it. So I'm glad that now I could teach these kids. I told my kids every day this week, I made one speech as they left. I said, when you walk in this building, you are loved, you are cared for, and you are respected. And whatever's going out there in that crazy world, you take those three lessons and you pass it on, because the only way we're going to get change is if kids like you change the world, and the future is in better hands than it is now.
Good brother, this is a complicated issue. This is a complicated moment for a lot of people that are living in what they're perceiving to be good times for a while. And what kills me is, I talked about this on the last one, a lot of problems come down to when you get complacent. And this country got complacent. This country got comfortable. It got okay because middle America, suburban America, and this movement of making everything modern age forgot about the rest of the world. Forgot that not every child has internet service. Not every child gets a meal, let alone two, let alone a dinner. There are children out there that don't have homes. There are brown babies in cages right now. There are black babies who will be a hashtag one day.
It's been 60 years, Mike, and we're still just as segregated as we are back then.
We live in the most segregated city in the world.
People chose to ignore it.
We live in the most segregated city in the world, in Chicago. Chicago is a block-by-block segregated city. Now, the one thing that maybe might heal this city is what's happening now with the brown and the black community coming together. And, of course, the white community coming out. The white community coming out needs to happen. That's how this stuff changes. And you have to give a shout out to the Middle Eastern people, to the people who, after 9/11, were beaten.
For being Sikh, just looking similar and being a completely different region and religion. They were abused for being a Sikh, a completely different thing.
Even people of the Muslim religion who had nothing to do with that. It's been part of this country. What about the Asian community just this year? This is not anything new. The difference is the country. This is the country's original sin. This is something that we've never solved. but we've always put a Band-Aid on it. And my big issue is, if you don't have anything to add to the conversation, if you don't have anything constructive to add to the movement, shut up or get out of the way. You're not adding anything to it. The beautiful thing about this country is to state an opinion, to state a fact, to have the right to do it. Here's something, and I'll put it plain and simple. I know it might drive a lot of people away, but that's the beautiful thing. I don't care. Don't show your ass right now. Drew Brees, to me, always a great NFL player. One of the best. And typically, the perfect spokesman for your company. But look it, I judge a man on his actions. What was your first reaction, Drew Brees? You know what? I can respect when you say, my grandfather died for this. My dad died for this. Guess what? A lot of black granddads and granddaddies fought in the same war and didn't have the same rights your granddad did. For that exact flag, for those rights that you say Kaepernick and other people can't have because they upset you. I'm sorry, guys, that it upsets you. A lot of people died for that flag that don't have your rights. And it's not just that. You want to be angry? How come you're mad about everybody disrespecting our flags? Yet the veterans get no rights. Get no benefits.
It comes down to privilege at the end of the day. Well, like you said, it's the best example you just put, where black and white men fought for this country. They died to give us all these freedoms, but they weren't even created equal. That's privilege right there.
So, good brother, this is not going to end now. And you know what? I hope some of you are uncomfortable. Just like when you're working out, just like when you're running that last bit of that 12th mile in the marathon, or you're training, I hope you're a little uncomfortable. That's good. That means you're growing. That means you're thinking. That means you're not staying in place. We make fun of people in movies about situations like that. We make fun of history books. You are living your history right now. This is your moment. Do what you can. You're not Superman. I get it. You're not Wonder Woman. You have a family to worry about, a business to worry about, your own health. We are living through a pandemic. I get it. Donate $5 here. Share a post there. Ask somebody, are you okay? And here's one last thing. Everybody's talking about vote in November, vote in November. You better be damn skippy. You better vote in November. But also look into other things. Who's the chief of police? Who's the lead judge in your community? Ask these questions. Why are so many people incarcerated? Why does the police department have more funding than hospitals? Ask yourself why an educational system is at its worst. These are questions you have control over. So yeah, keep that same energy right now. I'm glad. I know some of you will smack your mom right now just to prove a point to show how much you're down with the cause. That's wonderful. You want to know where you're just as powerful? When you decide who's the judge in your community, who's making the laws, who's in charge, who is making the conduct and the rules and changing the way we train people of power. Keep that same energy.
Yeah, man, I just hate when people say it's not political, because that's wrong. It is a political thing, because it's a political system. Like you said, you have to know who's running your communities. You have to know. Small government does matter, because it builds the big government, and you have to vote and you have to participate. And my question to you is, we started talking about this before the show, is I want to give some reasoning to certain people, because you want to hope in your heart most people are good and most people are going to side with you. And you and me have a lot of friends that are very, very one-sided politically, but as human beings, they're even in agreement. This is not okay, what's going on. Police shouldn't be doing this. Black Lives Matter. But yes, I do tend to vote Republican. And I respect those people, because you can have your beliefs and know something's wrong. Mike, you tell me, where do we draw the line between you can have your political opinions and still believe Black Lives Matter, and let's, like you said, Chris Pratt, where does all lives matter stand? What does that mean? What do we do with that?
If you can't understand the difference between human lives and politics, then this isn't an issue for you. This is an issue about people's rights of living. This is not an issue about left or right. This is a human issues right. There is no conversation to be had. I'm not trying to convince you that the Chicago Cubs have a good chance of winning the World Series. This isn't objective. It's the same idea of the Colin Kaepernick thing. You could say a thousand things of how you interpreted, but he told you what he was doing. He told you who he came up with the idea with. You make up your own narratives. When it comes to this, there isn't another side to the conversation. You know what Black Lives Matters means. And you know what it means at this point when you say all lives matters. The biggest thing is, it shouldn't be upon the people of color to answer white America's questions anymore. Because they've been telling them their plights forever. It's your responsibility to listen, to look into things. A man cried for his mom as another grown man put his knee on his neck and three other men watched him. There is no other side to this. It comes down to you can have and like whoever you want as a distraction and entertainment. But when it comes to the moment in history, there is no objectiveness to this. Do Black Lives Matter? If your answer is anything other than yes, if it's, then that's the problem. Then that's it. But you know what? I'm not here. And that's the thing. You and I differ on this. It is only political in the sense of knowing your community. But the problem is this isn't political when it comes to the people right now. This is something that's been in our country's DNA. I cannot blame the 30-year-old person I graduated with who's a Republican when it comes to how the system is. Where I can judge them, or at the very least look at them a certain way, is you've lived throughout this time and you see it, yet you still fight for the same and the same comfortability. And
we're not excusing ignorance anymore.
No. And this is what I'll end on. Why is it that a man being killed by the government didn't get you riled up and upset, but watching property be destroyed? And not just mom and pop's property, which is devastating, and which is why some of the best people we are seeing out there helping and cleaning the communities. But yet, why did that trigger you? Why did that upset you more? Is it just because simply?
You gotta ask yourself.
Maybe the answer is as simple as you're just more used and okay to seeing a black person being killed by a police officer, or the government, I should say, killing another black person, opposed to watching your favorite target on fire and watching a bunch of angry black people. We're going to call it what it is, good brother. We're going to keep it funky. A lot of people's problem is they see a lot of angry people of color, and that makes people very, very uncomfortable.
Exactly, man. They're always going to fear it. So that's why it's our job to change the outlet. And we're done waiting, and we're done explaining ignorance. And like I said, we paid our dues. Our time is now. And, you know, again, us being Puerto Rican alone, like, our culture was built off Europeans, Taínos, and African Americans. Like, that's in our blood, being 50% Puerto Rican. So we're done standing for the ignorance, and we take a hard stand on the show where we believe we're right.
So at the end of this, I think there's always going to be ignorance in the world. There's always going to be hatred in the world. I think when the good outweighs it or outnumbers it, that's when we'll win. The numbers are very close, but, you know, I think every single day we're going to do what we have to. We're going to use our platform, and we hope that a lot of you, even if you're not comfortable, even if you're learning day by day, we welcome you, because guess what? I'm talking all of this, and I hope you've stuck around this entire time. I don't know what I'm doing. Neither does a good brother. None of us know what we're doing. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. Nobody's ever lived during these times.
It's a day-to-day battle.
But you know what's right, and you know what's wrong. And doing nothing is also a message. That's the one thing. I know there's a lot of good people out there who kind of want to do nothing. And I know that's the easy way. It's the way a lot of us have done it before. Can't do it. Not anymore. So my final message, before we move on to something that's super not important, is we live in a time right now where we can make real change. Not just change for the next 5 years, or until the next news cycle, or the next election cycle, but we can make real change. And For those of you who are looking for clout, shame on you. For all those who are out there every day, either protesting for the rights or cleaning up the neighborhoods, thank you. Please be safe. I am somebody who has a lot of loved ones in the police force. I love them so much. I love the idea of being able to count on police officers to keep our community safe. I ask them to be a part of the community, to not be us versus them, to not be Blue Lives Matter. If you really want to be about it, be about it. You don't want the misery. You don't want the headache. Stomp it out yourself. Be a part of the solution. Be the good guys. Be the superheroes. This is our moment. All of us. I don't care what the rhetoric is on mainstream media or mainstream politics. You and I, listening to us, our moments now. We can take full advantage and make it better. Good brother, any final thoughts before we move on to something that's not important?
Just two. One, if I sound confident, it's because I am, and the change is here, and the change is going to keep coming, and this is our time now, and I truly, honestly believe that, and I have no intention of going back. And for those listening, our loved ones, friends, fans, you know, across the pond, just remember something, that you and me have both been victims of systematic racism. We've been thrown into cop cars. I've had a gun pulled on me. We've been pulled over and stopped just for the color of our skin. So we're not going to get into it. But when you think about us, remember, we could have been those men. And a lot of young men like us could have been those men, could have been George Floyd. So it is close to home.
And to add on to that, I am part of the media. So have I ever deceived you? Have I ever been evil to you? Have I ever done anything other than just pour my heart out and do my best as objectively as I can? This is our chance to be the better versions of ourselves, to make this the multiverse version that the best way it can be. Let's make this Earth One the best Earth One it can be. Good brother, let's go on, because NXT is in your house. Not my house, in your house. Good brother, finally, we get a little bit of normalcy. This is for all the amazing people. This is your treat for all you good humans that stuck around, good brother. This is for all you guys, a little treat. NXT in your house. First of all, good brother, do you remember a lot about in your house? I know, do you remember the sets in the original days, back in the day?
Just the set. I don't remember any of the matches per se, unless I listened to something to wrestle with. But no, I remember the set, like very colorful, very fun, very 90s.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. Do you think they make the set, actually?
Yeah, no, I heard. Rumor was that the set was similar and very cinematic. And I heard it was very good. I heard the film match was very good. I heard they have a lot of good stuff in filmed already for WWE, honestly.
That's exciting. So, good brother, let's go ahead and get it started. Before we get into it, I know you've heard me complain about it. What do you think about NXT being on Sunday nights now?
For the pay-per-views, yeah. I don't mind, especially right now where, again, we're in the quarantine still and, like, we're not in front of a live audience. I think Conrad Thompson said it best, where beside a few cinematic episodes, we're really not going to remember this year in wrestling. Not a lot. We're not going to go back to it. Like, it's very much going to be a race from the zeitgeist, I think, from both companies. And I think right now it is a lot of, okay, we got to do something. So I don't mind. I love when they do Saturday, Sunday. But I also do enjoy that at least I get two pay-per-views back-to-back during quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I loved when NXT was just Saturday night, though. Like, even when it was its own pay-per-view, just a nice Saturday night, because you could lead into Sunday. I don't think they'll stay on Sundays, though, when NFL comes back. I doubt so.
No. They'll go back to Saturdays. But, again, with no audience anyway, I think it's the safe bet right now. Let's just keep content, like, spreading it out. Like what they did with The Last Ride, where they pushed an episode an extra week and they gave you a Sting documentary, and now the network's free. So they're really trying to lengthen out this content, I think.
And it's a pretty stacked card. Why don't we get into it? In a six-woman tag team match, Mia Yim, Shotzi Blackheart, and Tegan Nox take on Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. Who do you got?
I'm going to take the heels on this one, but I think this just goes to show you that, like, they're really trying to drag out time, because this is going to be a great match, no lie. But it's just such a put-together match where they're like, okay, we need to do something with six amazing talents. It's going to be great. But normally this would mean a little bit more. But I think, like you said, we do have to spread out a little bit. So I don't mind us getting this NXT plus match, but I'm going to go with the heel team.
Same here. I think this is the Candice LeRae match. I think she probably pins Mia Yim, but we'll see how that plays out.
Speaking, I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of Candice LeRae and Mia Yim, for the NXT North American Championship, it is the champion Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano. Who do you got, good brother?
Keith Lee. I think this is just to give Keith Lee another good win, keep his reign legitimate, and Johnny Gargano at this point could do no wrong, and he's going to put on a banger.
This is my problem, and I'll get to it in a little bit. I think Keith Lee is the next man up when it comes to the championship. So I think at least the next man up in the distant future, I think the real issue for Keith Lee is I wonder if they're waiting for an audience so that they could get the pop for him after winning the X. You know, so in this case, I'm going to go with Keith Lee. But Johnny Gargano is one of those guys that they can always just put the title on him and it's easy. But I'm going to go with Keith Lee defending his North American championship.
Yeah, it's always hard. Sorry, but it's always hard to really determine because you're trying, especially you and me, we try to play chess with this where, okay, let's see, Velveteen will take the title. But then if he doesn't, okay, Keith Lee would need it. And if Velveteen does, okay, we need a heel to take it off. Is Killer Cross going to stay? Are we going to let him go up to the main roster sooner than later like they're doing with a couple of guys? We still got Finn Balor over there. Matt Riddle just moved up. That definitely saved some space. So there's a lot of questions still.
And I was actually thinking about with Matt Riddle leaving and with the next match that we have coming up, where are they going to be exactly in about, let's say, 2 months? Because let's assume in 2 months they'll be able to have fans at the Performance Center. So then maybe you might be starting to do things a little bit different. So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to play out. But why don't we move into something that's going to make it, and it could kind of go be part of like the entire conversations. Adam Cole defending his NXT championship against the Velveteen Dream in a last chance backlot brawl. If Dream loses, he can no longer challenge for the NXT championship while Cole is still champion. Now we talk about all these moves up and down. We got that Dexter Lumis guy out here. So, first of all, who do you think wins? And then kind of tell me where you're thinking at with all these moves kind of going with Matt Riddle and whatnot.
Yeah, like you said, I think we're at a really good problem here where I like where WWE started to bring up this talent. Like, we're starting to clean house in a way of, like, there was a while there after all the cuts where we saw the same 7 people every week. And I get it. They had to film like that. Now that we're, like, Dijakovic is probably going to be moving up too. Like, the rumors are probably true. Same with Matt Riddle, like they had planned that one's going to Raw, one will go to SmackDown. And like those are going to be two huge names. The guys they have right now are killing it. So you're at a good problem right now where you almost have so much talent. Like it could make a lot. It almost reminds me of like the revamp we've been waiting for, and we waited a long time for it last year. And now we're really starting to see like Damian Priest and a lot of these young guys are like, oh no, I want to watch them on Wednesday nights now.
So I guess feet to the fire, do you go Adam Cole defending the championship, or do you have Velveteen Dream finally taking the strap off of him?
This is the hardest one because Adam Cole has a contract coming up to expire. I don't know what he wants. Does he want to remain on NXT? Does he want a shot at the main roster, which I guarantee they could use the entire Undisputed Era. I'm like, on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, either or, they can use them. So this is really going to kind of show, like, maybe he wants out. You know, his wife has a huge contract at AEW. If he stays with NXT, well, you know, it's filmed at pretty similar locations when it comes to living. So this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Velveteen Dream just for the stipulation. But if Velveteen Dream loses, I think that he'll get a call up sooner than later. But I'm just not sure about this one. This one's really tough, but I'm going to go Velveteen Dream title change.
I'm going Velveteen Dream as well. I think Adam Cole is going up. I think he's going to get a new contract. I think the entire Undisputed Era is going up. I think Velveteen Dream is the guy that's going to be the bridge champion. He's going to have a run because the guy he's going to lose the championship to is definitely going to win it in front of a crowd, and we'll get to that man in just a little bit. So we're both going with Velveteen Dream? We're both going with Dream?
Yeah. We're going Dream.
Well, what about
stipulation? Kind of sounds.
Yeah,
good.
I think so too. I think the fact that they went so hard and so specific with it, I'm like, all right, yeah. They're going with some Cody.
It's a cinematic match. I'm hearing good things. Yeah. That's kind of his. You know, Dream is so young too. He's 22. Like, that's obnoxiously young to be NXT champion. Like, that's a main title in the world. you don't see 22-year-olds being named champions anymore like you did with Brock Lesnar and stuff and Randy Orton back in the day.
Yeah, I agree. So I think they're going to go with Dream on this one as well. But speaking of two of our guys, how about Finn Balor versus Damian Priest?
I hope Walter comes out. I hope that's how this match goes because I think they both need a win. I think they're both safe. I think this would be I think all this match needs is a good match. JR always says wins don't matter if it's a good match. I agree. So if this is a banger match, then I think we'll be fine. Like, look at Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy is one of the most over wrestlers in wrestling, and he doesn't win a lot right now because he's so young. So I don't mind if either takes a loss. If I have to pick, again, it depends. Who are you building next? Like, who's going to get the huger push out of this? Is Finn Balor a heel? Is he a face? Like, what's going on with that?
I'm going Finn Balor because he's the next program with Karrion Kross.
Yeah, that might be it. So, but then you still have the Walter feud. You have to, you know, die.
But when can
out,
they come?
So.
When can they come back? Like, that's the thing. Like, is Walter traveling like that?
I'm going to pick Finn Balor because I think Damian Priest is still like a year away from dominating. Like Keith Lee, when he first came in, like he did his time, lost a little, did a couple matches, and then he started taking over. I think Damian Priest, you build the same way where the more they learn, the knowledge helps them become better wrestlers. I think that's a better story.
How about another very interesting story? Charlotte Flair defends the NXT Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai. Who do you got?
You know what? I don't love the women's division right now, the title. I love the women's division NXT. I think the Charlotte Flair thing would have worked better with an audience.
Yep.
I think it was kind of weird to pull the trigger on it anyway without the audience. You should have just left it. I think Io at this point should get it. I think Charlotte really gains nothing or gets nothing. Like, there's no point for Charlotte to win. I think deep down, she'll win just because it is Charlotte Flair. And she's kind of the modern Cena where it's the easier pick. My gut wants to say Io, though.
I think Io is a very... If the dark horse is Io, because it's a triple threat, she could pin all of them. You can also see Rhea and Charlotte just going back up. I don't think the experiment worked with Charlotte. Like, I don't think they're dying to put Charlotte versus Candice LeRae anymore, because Candice is a heel. I don't think they've already done Mia Yim. I don't think they're going to give her a full program. So I think at this point, it's kind of gone its course. And are you going to do Rhea versus Charlotte for an entire another program without an audience? So I think Io might win this one. Like, I'm convincing myself it's Io. It's so easy it could be Charlotte. But just for fun, I'm going to go with Io wins the NXT Women's Championship.
I think it's in between those two. I don't think Rhea has a... I wouldn't even put her, like, she's not even on my radar to win.
No, which I guess always means that there's always a chance she could win when it comes to Triple H and in your house.
I think she'll move. She's going to move soon. But look what they did. They're doing nothing with Bianca Belair either. So I would think they want to move her up since Becky's going to be gone for at least 2-3 years now.
Yeah, and I think SmackDown probably has the best running thing going on with the women. Just because Bayley and Sasha are on fire right now.
Yeah.
So I think it's...
They're killing it,
So it's going to be interesting to see how they end up playing out in NXT. But good, brother. We get to a very hyped match. We got Ciampa versus Cross in a singles match. You got Scarlett there. Karrion Kross had an amazing intro. He's an awesome worker. Obviously, Ciampa is one of the best. What do you think happens? I think we both agree on who's going to win, but tell me what you're feeling about the match. Is it going to be a domination? What do we got?
I hope it's a domination because, again, I feel like if you want to make – Killer Kross is fine. I think he's fine right now. But I really – if you want to push him and you want to make him seem bigger than everyone else there, he needs to dominate the first time at least, Ciampa. And if he comes out and dominates him like Brock Lesnar did to John Cena, I'm going to buy into Killer Kross. I'm going to buy in that he's a main event. If this is a very back-and-forth match in the last 20 minutes and I start seeing how slow he is, it's going to kill the illusion for me, and I'm going to be like, okay, you're going to move him up eventually, but what's different between him and Lars Sullivan, you know? So, like, that's where I'm at. I think he needs to be a killer in this match and get 70% of the offense for me to really enjoy what's going to happen.
I 100% agree with you. I think because this is a singles match, if this is just a straight wrestling match, he needs to Brock Lesnar him, dominate 30 seconds, beats him up, and then Ciampa could get back some heat, still lose, but some heat when there's an audience, and it's a, they could do a Hell in a Cell match.
Give him a chair or something. Ciampa can make up for it.
NXT Ciampa's Hell in a Cell. That's what they do.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, and I'm calling it right now, Karrion Kross, Ciampa in a NXT Hell in a Cell match. So to me, the way you get there is you have Kross.
Was that the first?
It would be the first Hell in a Cell at NXT. And I think they've already used Karrion Kross.
Yeah, that's a WrestleMania music. Yeah.
So I think you have that, but you have him destroy him. Like, I'm talking humiliate him.
Yep.
And then his way of saying, I want you in the biggest, most devastating thing WWE has. And then they could film it if they're still in quarantine and doing in the pandemic, you know, depending on where we're at. They could film a cinematic Hell in a Cell match. Yeah.
There's a better story to play out if you have him get squashed the first time. Like, there's so many options. If you do a normal match, then it's just another normal match and two guys.
I totally agree. So let's hope they think a little bit outside the box. And I got to give them credit. They have been. So I don't want to see a final heartbeat. I want to see a domination. We have other matches on this card that are meant to be bangers. I don't need that one to be a banger. So I need that one to be a really good story told in the ring domination type of thing. But good, brother. This was a lot of fun. It was nice for 10 minutes to kind of just talk about something silly and, you know, inconsequential. But, you know, the fight continues. But for at least, you know, 2.5 hours, we'll be able to have something that we could peek our eye into every few minutes. What are you thinking about this card? And how are you feeling after this episode?
I still get excited. Like, during quarantine when there's not a lot new and now we don't have the Jordan doc anymore, I think I do enjoy when pay-per-views come up because it does give me something, at least on a Sunday night, to watch. You know, there is no baseball. We should be watching baseball right now, you know, Sunday night baseball or something. Or there's a lot that's just not coming out or being released. So when I do appreciate wrestling right now and I do enjoy watching it, you know, I thought SmackDown was fantastic the other night, honestly.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. We'll definitely have a conversation on the network about the NBA coming back and what are they going to do when, not if, but when somebody tests positive for COVID-19, how do they have this all handled? What happens if Giannis and somebody else gets it? What happens if LeBron and AD get it? What happens to some of these teams? It's going to be a really interesting conversation and times coming up when we get to July. But good, brother. It was a privilege, an honor, and it was cathartic to get back onto the podcast and talk a little bit about everything that's going on, everything that's going inside our souls, and kind of talking back to the amazing people who have stuck with us and are going to be on this roller coaster with us.
Yeah, man, let's, you know, keep the fight. The fight will never stop.
He's on Twitter at Mercado21 Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. We're all over social media at Mercado Airwaves. Subscribe to us wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. Please check out our conversation, our roundtable, Racism in America on Outreach Radio Chicago at Mercado Airwaves with my amazing guest, Courtney Baxter. She's a historian and also educator at a museum, as well as Everett O'Neill, a Chicagoland radio host, to Black prominent voices, and two good friends of mine. Good brother, I'm done plugging things. I love each and every one of you. I love you. I love our network. I love everything that we're doing. And even though our souls are hurting, even though a lot of us and a lot of our brothers and sisters are in pain, we will keep fighting and we will keep sharing the love and what we do best in the meantime.
Yeah, man, couldn't say it better myself.
For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the good brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you on the next episode of The Good Brothers, here on the Mercado Airwaves Network.